Today, we are covering the running back position, and to help us break it down from all angles, Jake Seely, senior writer, The Athletic Fantasy Coverage. Jake, thank you for hopping aboard. We appreciate you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm ready for the season to start and not get any sleep until January.
Yeah, it's that time.
Yeah, man.
And we're all fired up about it. Got to win the races to the waiver wire, obviously. But when you think running backs, I guess we'll let you drive here early. What's your philosophy this season? What are some of the things you're thinking and that we need to know at that position?
So I've pretty much stayed with my position throughout the years of whatever you want to call it, bell cow, hero, RB, whatever it might be, but basically getting an elite running back in the first two rounds. And there's been years where I've gone against it just because of how the draft board was for me. But I think this year it's become even a little bit more important than normal. Not so much because of the success from last year, as I try to say that, because I don't think we can expect them all to stay healthy as they did last season. It's more for the fact that you guys know how deep this draft class was. And because of that, we have so many questionable backfields of who's going to be the lead, who's going to get time, who's going to be the passing option, that I'd rather get one of those clear-cut lead running backs in the first two rounds and then just load up at wide receiver for a while, because I can still pick and choose from those backfields the same as anybody else is doing in the third round. I can do it in their fifth or sixth round and probably get the potential same output.
Jake, how are you treating some of these guys with ridiculous upside that we've seen in the not too distant past? Barkley, McCaffrey, Devin Achane. Some of these guys, though, with that upside that's ridiculous, but also could absolutely kill you if it's your first round pick and they're not available for weeks or months at a time. How are you treating some of those guys?
So one of those names I'm treating a little bit differently. Most often, I'm not too afraid of having my first round pick blow up in my face. I've been on both sides of it. I was team CJ Anderson next to Peyton Manning back in the day, and I took him in the first round, and I was a knucklehead for doing so, and he was a bust, but I still ended up winning an industry league. I've also gone wide receiver, the one year that Dez Bryant and Jordy Nelson got hurt. I took them in the first and second round.
Amazing.
So it can happen to you at any point. I'm not so much on the side of, oh, Barkley touched the ball 400 times. Like, he's not the same running back as everybody else. It's not like he got slammed into the turf 400 times. Derrick Henry, I know he's a freak of nature, but, you know, we've seen him be able to withstand most seasons. Christian McCaffrey is obviously, you want to take the risk or you don't. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid to go either way. We know he can be the best player in fantasy football. If you're afraid because this is now multiple seasons of injuries back and forth and back and forth, I get it. But in the first round, if I'm with a bunch of sharp people in my league, I'm trying to win the league first or last, as Ricky Bobby used to say. I have no problem taking McCaffrey. The one you said was Achane. Because it's an injury and we're questionable already from week one, so there's somebody in the industry, Sigmund Bloom, he always says, you're always going to get injuries. I don't need to invest in them to start my draft. And that's where I'm a little bit more hesitant on Achane. If he's there at the end of the second round, he's still there in the third, I have no problem with it. But I'm not trying to start my season with a person who's already questionable for week one, who's had soft tissue injuries. Man, I can't talk today. So I think that he's the outlier just because we're going into week one with a giant question mark.
Jake Seely is part of The Athletic's fantasy coverage, does a great job covering that part of the game. He's with us here on Grant and Danny, our Fantasy at 5 series all week long. We're talking running backs today. So your RB1, let's go rapid fire with some stuff top of the board here. Your RB1 would be who if you were going to take a running back right at the top of the board?
I go Bijan, Barkley, Gibbs in order, and then McCaffrey's my fourth.
So that would be my next question, is Gibbs or Barkley? Is it Saquon substantially better or narrowly? Like, is that a coin flip behind Bijan?
No, so I actually do tiers. So I have Bijan, Barkley, and Gibbs all in the same tier. If you wanted to argue Gibbs first, if you want to argue Bijan third, whatever it might be, I'm not going to call you nuts. McCaffrey's in a tier of his own because I just treat him as he's his own world. He can be the best or he could be a bust. So any of those three, I have no problem with any of them.
All right, then I'd imagine somewhere in tier two is some variation of, we're talking Derrick Henry from the Ravens, yeah. A couple of the young guys like Ashton Jeanty of the Raiders maybe, or Bucky Irving of the Buccaneers. Jacobs is a workhorse with the Packers, is in that convo. Jonathan Taylor, same deal with the Colts. Like, what's the next group look like and how do you sort it out?
You went 5 for 5. You're only missing two names out of that tier. You want to take two more stabs at it?
Well, you said McCaffrey. I mean, the next on my list would be Kyren Williams, James Cook, probably. Am I missing someone?
So no, Kyren Williams, Achan's in that group. McCaffrey's in his own, so it's okay. Kind of the same group. But you got the Kyren Williams. I think that the only concern we had was the contract, and he got it, which means Sean McVay is not going to turn away from him if he has a bad game or two like he's done with the past running backs. But all the other ones you mentioned, you nailed them. Ashton Jeanty's right dead in the middle. He has as much rookie upside as Barkley or Zeke before him. But obviously the question mark is how effective will the Raiders offense be? Will they have the same touchdown equity as some of the others? And then Jonathan Taylor is the last of that group. Talk about injury risk. Nobody ever wants to bring up his name. He's been hurt all the last three seasons. And I think he's as big as an injury risk as McCaffrey or anybody. James Cook is in a very, very, very small group with Chase Brown and Omarion Hampton. That's it. That's the end of the list for me, because James Cook has the touchdown risk. Chase Brown, we assume, is going to see all the work now as the guy for the Bengals, and they didn't really do much in this offseason, but there's still the chance that he's not who we think he is from last season. And then Omarion Hampton should be the guy for the Chargers, but they do have Najee Harris waiting in the wings that they signed and is finally back on the field. And we know what Greg Roman does. He loves two running backs. So that's just why they're kind of in their own special group.
How do you view the good player on a mediocre or bad team? Thinking of the Kamara, Chuba Hubbard, maybe Tony Pollard in Tennessee, et cetera. Is there value there? Give me some guys in those kind of situations that you're into or not.
So I am, and they actually kind of fall into a similar group. Like Pacheco's on the other side of it, but mm-hmm. We don't know that Pacheco is going to get a ton of passing game work. So it really comes down to, if they're on a bad team, like Hubbard's a great one, Kamara is going to see the passing game work. I need the volume to offset that. Like, I need to know that they're going to get 250 touch range, and maybe Kamara's a little bit under that, but he makes up with it, so many of it being passing downs. The other side of it is that you have the Pachecos of the world, or Swift, as we assume, should be the lead option for the Bears, and we assume that the Bears will be better, and he should have lesser volume, but he's on what we, again, I say assume for now the third time, we assume that offense is going to be fixed by Ben Johnson. So Pollard's in that same range. I'm glad you brought him up. He was actually RB24 with all the – he had 300 touches last year, and he was RB24 in fantasy points per game because he's on the Titans. So I think that's a really good conversation to have, is all those names are kind of those – I'm okay with them being my RB2, but to go back to that very first question you guys led off with, this is why I want all of these as my two. I don't want to go three straight wide receivers and have my lead running back – having to be like, well, he has to get all the volume or the offense has to support him with double-digit touchdowns.
Jake, give me a guy or two that you've, and then think of the running back spot specifically here still, that you've ended up with a lot, whether it was your design or someone you've targeted or just maybe the way the drafts fell, et cetera. Give me a guy that's on a lot of your rosters.
So this is going to sound like a lie, but I'm victory lapping this one. Ollie Gordon for the Dolphins. Like, I will take a victory lap on this because I was called crazy 2 months ago when I said that he was coming for the Raheem Mostert role, and everybody's like, it's Jalen Wright. And I'm like, let's not forget Ollie Gordon 2 years ago was thought to be a potential first rounder. Talk about a guy that was screwed over by not being able to leave after the second year in college. Ollie Gordon, I brought up Achan earlier as the injury risk. He's out there to split the touches. Wright won't be out there in week one. And if Achan were out, I mean, we're talking about somebody that might have a lot of volume to start things, and then at worst is a timeshare piece. I've ended up with a lot of him, but that one, like I said, sounds like this is late in the game and like, it's coming back around. The one other one I thought was very intriguing was Braylon Allen. And it's not so much that I don't believe in Breece Hall, it's that it's Justin Fields. And if you look at Justin Fields' past success, he's been up and down. But when he's had success, the running back alongside him has been a bruiser, real tough runner at the goal line, because they try to offset what Fields does in space with the bigger body. And I always thought that Braylon Allen was intriguing, that one, he could get some cheap touchdowns throughout the season and be like your RB3 or bench stash. And then if Breece Hall does get hurt, which he was hurt for almost half the season last year, he could have top 20 upside. Those are two that I actually have in a lot of my leagues.
Jake, you're on in DC right now. Brian Robinson was traded. There's been a lot of talk. Yep. About Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt and Chris Rodriguez. How do you think this sorts itself out in terms of pecking order as the year goes on?
Yeah, I'm actually only 3.5 hours down here in Virginia Beach from you guys, so I'm kind of waving out the window a little bit. Yeah, I have to come out there a few times. I think that, so I want to caution Commanders fans not to go too crazy, because, look, Kroski-Merritt is a fun talent. Is actually, you know, he probably would have thought of more if not what happened to him in college with the whole jersey situation. But he's also somebody who's explosive that I don't think, we talk about that volume from earlier, I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-touch guy in the NFL. Like, I don't think that's who he is. And we've seen the talk about, we think Chris Rodriguez could be a great option at the goal line. We've heard that from coaches before. Like, and then that third option maybe sprinkles in, but doesn't end up being a third option. But I will say this, the one that's safest is Austin Ekeler, who was productive last year before he got hurt. I think he can be productive again, and I think his role is the safest. And I say that to say you have Jaden Daniels, who's going to take a ton of the rushing. You have Austin Ekeler's not going to go away. So now it comes down to Crosby Merritt really needs to be Brian Robinson from last year, and I mean that in a volume standpoint. So I would treat him as an RB3, like around the 30 to 35 range, with upside for more. Don't get me wrong. I love the talent. But the worst-case scenario and why I'm only treating him as an RB3 is because this could blow up in our faces for fantasy purposes and be a full-blown committee, and maybe he is telling the truth about Chris Rodriguez, and all of a sudden Crosby Merritt's only getting 12 to 14 touches per week, which is fine. It's just going to be very inconsistent for production.
What's the right round, easy for me to say, to take one or both of those guys?
So Crosby Merritt, it depends on who you're drafting with, because if you're drafting in the wrong draft, you're going to have to take him in the sixth round, and please don't do that. You've eliminated any upside if you take him there. I'm willing to take him late seventh, eighth round. I think that's where a lot of the RB3s start going. You have some wide receivers. You probably have two running backs. And if Crosby Merritt even gets off to a slow start, you're okay because he's on your bench for that upside. Chris Rodriguez, I'd take a flyer on in the 12th round or something like that, just in case. If Crosby Merritt were to get hurt in week one, Rodriguez would be splitting the backfield with Austin Ekeler. But I will say, I'm going to go back to it. Austin Ekeler is my favorite value because you can get him in the 9th or 10th round. And I actually think in a half and full point PPR, he will provide RB3 value this year.
Jake Seeley, The Athletic, fantasy coverage. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
No, it was a good time. I always appreciate talking fantasy.
Yeah, that was fun.
Thanks, buddy.
Good insight from him. That's the running back position. Tomorrow we're going to tackle the receiver spot. So we'll have at least gotten through three position groups before we go do our Grant and Danny Listener League draft tomorrow.